I'm sure not all of you just came here for the food, so even though Jim said that. Yeah. You ready for the next slide? You ever wonder, why is it that the joy of the Lord is our strength for us Christians? How come we don't show it? How come we end up being sour pusses all the time? You know what I mean. I call it the Eeyore syndrome. Does anybody here remember who Eeyore is? Yeah, Winnie the Pooh? Eeyore, oh my, life is bad. Let's go eat dirt. Everybody is against me. If we're all people of God, why can't we live in the joy and the excitement of who Christ is in us? The joy of excitement of being part of that, part of sharing the gospel with others. That's why today we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul in Philippians, who was truly an amazing man because he was able to live in all and any situation with a single-mindedness to proclaim Christ in every circumstances that he was involved in. Can you do that? Can all of us do that? He rejoiced and he praised God and was content in everything, whether he was rich or poor, whether things were coming against him. Wouldn't it be great to be more like Paul? Raise, show of hands here. And see our situations as opportunities and see God work to advance the gospel. Maybe it's time for a lot of us to be looking for Christ in everything that happens to us in the world. And approach our circumstances with joy. Joy about how God is going to get us through the next day. Joy about hunting for Him and seeing Him work in our lives. Yeah, joy even if we're imprisoned. Joy even if things bad happen to us. And when I say imprisoned, I mean imprisoned in our own mind. Imprisoned by everything that goes around us that we can't even enjoy life. We just can't go out to enjoy life. This is why I'm starting a new series today as we begin the study of the book of Philippians. And I call this series, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Can we say that?
Don't worry.
Okay. I'm not a very good whistler. And the first sermon of this series, I call Looking for Opportunities in Crises. So let's begin by reading Philippians. Let's go to chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 3 through 26. But before we do, I want you to tell the person next to you that God is working in their situation. And don't worry, be happy. Come on. God is working in your situation. Don't worry, be happy. Okay, let's all turn to our Bibles. For those that you don't have Bibles, we have pew Bibles here. And let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does that matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in a troubled world, we tend to go into despair and dismay. For believers in Christ, sometimes we think you're not there. We take on the Eeyore syndrome and say, woe is us and woe is this world, not realizing that you're operating in our lives and the lives of others each and every day. Dear Lord, we pray that you will speak to us through the words of Paul as he greets the Philippians in his letter. That we see the heart of Paul so that no matter what situations came against him, he delighted and had joy because he saw you in the midst of all the troubles coming against him. So with that, Lord, I ask that you will, that your Spirit will be upon us in a way to help us discern your word. That all hearts will be open and all minds open to learn a little bit more about living a life with you with joy. So Lord, use me, speak through me, and have me, Lord, to step aside so that you can speak. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you ever have close Christian friends that you could pray with? People that know you can depend upon. People that you've known for years, and they might be far off, but you just know they're praying for you. And you for them. I remember a men's group I had in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. A friend of mine started that, and we ended up having about 20 men. 20 men that had a heart for God and that would consistently pray for one another. That was 20 years ago. And yet I call them, and they're praying for us now. And some of you that are in the men's Bible study, you've heard their prayers for us as we kind of link them up in technology and have prayer time together. These men still meet. Not only do they meet, they pray for Grace Christian Fellowship Church. And they pray for Ginger and I. And they support us with prayers and finances so that we can serve you. Ginger also has family and friends that do the same. And I can only sense about Paul's relationship with the church in Philippi. A church that he started 11 years before. Paul now is writing to the church that he started 11 years previously, but now Paul is in Rome and he's in chains. He's in chains, yet he has this joy that he's sharing with the people that still support him and still pray for him. That's where we open up in these verses, where he wrote to the Philippians and say, I do thank you for prayer and your financial support. And instead of wallowing in his sorrows, instead of having the Eeyore syndrome, he rejoiced in the people that surrounded him. He rejoiced in the memory of each and every one of them. And you can see Paul's love for these people, just so I can sense my love for the men's group in Greensburg, or Ginger's family and friends that pray for us and support us. In these verses, I can visualize him remembering Lydia, the lady who sold purple cloth, the lady that he led to Christ. And not only did he lead Lydia to Christ, he led her whole family to Christ. The slave girl in which Paul cast out demons and led to Christ. The jailer who was there when an earthquake happened and Paul and Silas were in jail. They were beaten. They were put in jail. And an earthquake came and they could have been freed and they could have walked out. And the jailer feared for his life that if they did walk out, he would be killed. Yet Paul and Silas stood tall and they stayed with that jailer. And they led him to Christ. And they led the whole family to Christ. So now you understand he had a family of believers in Philippi that he was close and personal with. And they didn't quit on him and he didn't quit on them. And ever since, Paul would say, you have partnered with me. And he says, all of you, which means the whole church in Philippi had partnered with him, which means any person that Paul brought to Christ, any church that Paul has started, they partnered with him in prayer and financial support. They partnered with him to spread the gospel. Just imagine that. They partnered with him. So Paul says, it's only right to feel this way. And regardless of whether it's prayer or financial support, they all shared in God's grace. And he longed for them. Because mind you, again, he was in house arrest, in chains. I can identify with that. I can identify with all of you with prayer and financial support and family with prayer and financial support. That anything that happens here in this church body isn't about me. It isn't about Ginger. It's about all of us partnering, being partners in the cause of Christ. So he was joyful and how can anybody be joyful at being chained up constantly? Chained up. But he was joyful and not only did he have joy in the church of Philippi, he had joy in the chains. Now, how can that be? How can that be? Do you realize that he was chained to a guard 24/7? 24/7 he was chained to a guard. Here, John, grab that. Okay? He can go far. Not at all. He was chained to the Praetorian Guard 24/7. They would have shifts. Every 6 hours would be a new guard. And no matter where he went, the guard was there. And you can just see Paul. He could have had the Eeyore syndrome, and he could have said, oh, woe is me, I can't preach a gospel, I'm tight, I can't go back to my churches, I'm stuck. Oh, Lord, this is terrible. I just might as well die. He could have said this. But you almost have to grin, because I can just see Paul going, because instead of crises, he saw opportunity. I can just see him preaching the gospel to all the visitors, praying incessantly, and having that quiet time with the guard, having that quiet time saying, if you die today, do you know where you're going? Right? Right? Instead of crisis, he saw an opportunity to witness. He got excited. He got joyful. He couldn't wait. You can let go. He couldn't wait until the next guard comes up and say, what's your walk with Christ like? You know? And guess what? They couldn't get away, could they? Their guards couldn't get away. And they had to be exposed to the gospel every time that they were chained to Paul the Apostle. I would imagine that there were some from the guards that said, you know, I can't wait for my ship. I can't wait to hear the story of Paul on the road when Christ talked to him and he was blinded. I can't wait for that. Finding joy in crisis. And that's what Paul did. And not only did he advance the gospel, he advanced the gospel to the guards. You know what kind of guards they were? They were the Praetorian Guard. You know what that means? They were the royal guard. They were the guard of the emperor, Caesar. So what does that tell you about bringing somebody to Christ that's a guard of the royal throne? What does that tell you? He had access to the power base of Rome. He could have been in these little churches out there and Christ would have stayed right there and not been spread. He had an opportunity to spread the gospel to the Praetorian Guard, who also had access to Caesar, that also had access to the whole political realm. Now, isn't that cool? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And that's why he says he delights in his chains. Because he gave him an opportunity to have access to people he would never have access to. And also set an example for the others. Because in this, guess what all of his buddies felt about spreading the gospel? Buddies that weren't chained up. What do you think went through their mind? They got excited. They said, if Paul can do this and he's chained up, what do you think we can do when we're free? And the gospel here says they became bold and courageous for Christ because of Paul being chained and seeing opportunity in crises versus sadness and captivity. Isn't it funny? He was not the one that was a captive. The guards were captive. The guards were captive. Then we go on to the next verses. In verse 15 through 18, we see something very interesting. We found others taking advantage of the fact that Paul was in jail. So pastors and preachers actually started to compete against Paul. They started to criticize Paul. They started building mega churches for Christ in Rome. Now, isn't that something? Paul could have said to himself and had the Eeyore syndrome and said, "Oh my, they're taking my people. They're taking my ministry. They're going out and destroying me." But that wasn't Paul. I get to see Paul sitting there with a big smile on his face, going, and why would that be? Now, why would that be? Because he didn't care. All he cared about is whether Christ was preached or not. He did not have an ego problem. As a matter of fact, he didn't feel that he was a very good preacher. I mean, there are those that think that Paul was not a very good talker. And I think that's in the scripture somewhere. And he's probably thinking, wow, the people out there I've trained, they want to compete against me, but they can speak better. They can put the gospel out better. They can articulate this better than I can. And they can spread the gospel. And don't get me wrong. They were spreading the gospel whether they loved the gospel or whether they were doing it out of envy. I also don't think there was any error in the gospel, otherwise Paul would have said something. But he was happy and joyful regardless of the motives. He didn't care as long as Christ was preached and preached strongly. And again, all were motivated by Paul. Motivated by a man in chains under house arrest that couldn't even get out of the room that he was in. Chained 24/7 to the Praetorian guards. So even in competition, Paul had joy. And you know what else Paul had joy in? He didn't care whether he lived or died. Paul probably saw some of the disciples killed. He probably saw some of them tortured. He was beaten and suffered greatly. He could have had the Eeyore syndrome that, woe is me, I'm going to be punished, I'm going to be put to death. I have this strong fear of death. And he could be frightened each day of his life. But that wasn't Paul. I can just see him envisioning death or ministry, death or ministry. And so he puts his head down and he goes, he says, I don't care. To live is Christ. To die is gain. He says, I don't know which is better. I'm really pulled both ways. Because I think it's far better to be with Jesus today than to be out there doing the gospel. But I love preaching the gospel and being with my friends. And that's okay too. That's okay too. For Paul, it was a win-win situation. A win-win situation. He could be with Christ, or he could give the gospel and be with the people in Philippi and many of the other churches and fellowship with them. So that their joy in Christ will overflow on account of his presence on earth. That's what it says in those verses. That's what it says in those verses. why do we let situations and circumstances steal our joy? And don't get me wrong. There is a time for grieving, Jill. There is a time for grieving. But there are other things that come into a life that really doesn't make much sense to argue about. Neighbors or other situations. Why do we let that take away our joy? Why do we go through life with our glass half empty instead of half full? And don't you think that we should have the same joy as Paul? Knowing, number one, that God has a plan for our life, so let's look for it. And number two, that we have eternal life through Him. What else is there to be joyful about? This life on earth is just a light affliction. But eternity is how long? Pretty long. Pretty long. The question I have for me too, and as well as for you, is are we going to see opportunity crisis to spread the gospel like Paul did constantly? If you don't know it, the word crises in Chinese means, what do you think it means? It means opportunity. I say it a little bit different, and here it is. It's only in crisis that we really see who Christ is. Remember that. It's only in our crises that we really see who Christ is. Paul saw that. Paul looked at all crises with expectations and excitement, saying, now how is God going to work this for His good? And Paul was never, ever disappointed. Can we say to live as Christ and to die is gain? If we can't say that, guess what, folks? Don't worry. Be happy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You and we apologize for this Eeyore syndrome that comes into our minds and hearts on probably a pretty regular basis. As this culture changes, instead of us getting excited about what God's going to do through us and in us, we kind of get deflated as if we have no joy in who You are and what You can do. I pray, Lord, from the bottom of my heart that You help us to see You and everything that comes against us. That we reach out to You and with that great excitement and expectations that Paul had that You were going to do a marvelous work. Whether it's in chains to minister to the royal court and change lives. Whether it's in competition in which You're proclaimed, or whether it's in death, which we will meet You and be there beside You. The Heavenly Father, help us to live this life of joy in You and excitement in You. I say that because I need this for myself. I need this sermon for myself, Lord. As we fight so many battles inside this church and outside in the world. Christ is the answer, but no one asked a question, do they? Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, if there's anybody here today that don't know You and want to have a relationship with You, it's a quite simple prayer to pray. It's a prayer that You say, I repent of my sins, Lord, and I want a relationship with you. I want you as my personal Savior. I want you to walk with me and help me to get free of these chains that bind me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm asking all of you, I'm asking whether there's anybody here that can say that prayer. And if you want to say that prayer, just say it with me. I repent of my sins, Lord, and I accept you as my Savior. And again, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you that have said that prayer. So I just ask you to put your hand up and your hand right back down. Your hand up. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Dear Lord, there's such excitement as people become saved, Lord, today, and that we all can partner in that as a church. We can all partner in that as a church. So, dear Lord, protect us, provide for us, help us to see you in every crisis that comes against us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said,